Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 33 in our study of the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We have been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and we are fast coming to the final chapters of the life of Jesus. As we know from the previous lessons that Jesus is depicted in the Gospel of Matthew as the King of the Jews, and in course of setting up his kingdom, establishing his kingdom, in unveiling his kingdom, Jesus reaches Jerusalem in the final week of his life. And once he reaches Jerusalem, we see that different groups of people come to Jesus and they test him, and Jesus is able to answer all the different questions that they ask to him about different aspects of the kingdom. At the end of the testing, Jesus rebukes the religious people regarding their hypocrisy, and also he speaks about what is going to happen in the days to come regarding the Israel and Jerusalem in particular. At the end of speaking and answering the question, in chapter 24 of Matthew, verse number 3, he goes to the Mount of Olives and he sits down, and his disciples come to him privately and they ask him to tell what would be the sign of the coming of Jesus, and also what would be the sign of the consummation of the age. And in answering to the question that his disciples came to him, Jesus unveils what is going to happen. He actually, through prophecy, he speaks concerning Israel, concerning the church, and concerning the nations. In lesson number 31, we looked into the prophecy of Jesus that he spoke concerning Israel. In the last lesson, that is lesson number 32, we heard about Jesus as he speaks prophecy concerning the church. Now, in the prophecy concerning Israel and the prophecy concerning the nations, what Jesus speaks about, it's all in very literal form. There is no hidden meaning in that. But when he speaks concerning the church, we see that Jesus is speaking through parables. To make the point clear, Jesus brings about some parables. During the last lesson, in lesson number 32, we looked into three different aspects concerning the church: about watching and being ready, about being faithful and prudent, and finally we looked into the parable for watchfulness. We are going to conclude today the prophecy that Jesus spoke concerning the church through the last parable, which is a parable for faithfulness. Our lesson will start from from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14, and it will go all the way till chapter 25, verse number 46. So it will be all within one chapter, Genesis 25 verses 14, and we will go to the end of the chapter till verse number 46. And we will start initially with the parable for faithfulness, which he speaks concerning the church, and then we will look into what Christ speaks about himself when he is coming enthroned in glory. And finally, he speaks about the parable concerning the nations, which is not actually in parables but in real forms, when he speaks about when all the nations will gather and he will exercise judgment upon them. So let us turn to Matthew chapter 25. And we will start from verse number 14. And verse number 14 is a parable for faithfulness. It is from verse number 14 to verse number 30. Verse number 14, for the kingdom of the heavens is like a man about to go abroad, who called his own slaves and delivered to them his possessions. Now the parable, it's called also the parable of the talents. And this parable, like the previous parable, which is the parable of the 10 virgins, it concerns the kingdom of the heavens. It says, and so it says here, the kingdom of heavens is like a man about to go. The man here signifies Jesus Christ, who is about to go abroad into the heavens. It says that he is about to go abroad, and this is about Jesus going to the heavens. He calls his own slaves and delivered to them his possessions. Now the slaves here signify believers viewed from the aspect of service. Some references of these are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 22 and 23, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, James chapter 1 verse 1, and Romans chapter 1 verse 1, where believers are depicted as slaves in the service of the kingdom of God. So the believer status in relation to Christ is of two different aspects. In life, they are like virgins living for him, and in service, in work, they are his purchased slaves who are serving him. We know that Christ has bought us with a price, and we are the love slaves for him as we live to serve him all the days of our life. So here, the believers are depicted as slaves. It says, and delivered to them his possessions. His possessions signifies the church. Reference of that is in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. With all the believers who constitute the house of God or God's household. And we read that in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 45. We see that the possessions is the household of God. Verse number 15. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and he went abroad. Now what are talents? A talent, the largest unit of weight, was worth 6,000 denarii. And we see all that also mentioned in John chapter 6 verse 7. In the parable of the virgins, the oil signifies the Spirit of God, whereas in this parable, the talents signify spiritual gifts. References of that we can see in Romans chapter 12 verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, and 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Due to the brevity of time, we are not reading these passages, but you can read through the references and see that the talents that Jesus is speaking here signifies the spiritual gifts. Now for life, we need oil, the Spirit of God, even his filling, that we may have the power to live the virgin life for the Lord's testimony. But for service, for the work, we need the talent, the spiritual gift, that we may be equipped as a good slave to accomplish what the Lord intends to accomplish through our lives. The filling of the Holy Spirit in life enables us to use the spiritual gift in service or work, and the spiritual gift in service matches the filling of the Holy Spirit in our life, that we may be able to serve him all the days of our life. So here the man gives different talents. To one he gives five, to another two, and to the third one he gives one talent. It says, to each according to his own ability. Our ability signifies our natural ability, which is constituted of God's creation, the way that God has created us, and also the ability that we have achieved through our learning on the natural. So according to our ability, God has given us a certain number of talents. And it says that he went abroad, which is about Christ living for the heavens. Verse number 16. Immediately he who received the five talents went and traded with them and gained another five. So it says that he went, the one who received the five talents, he went and traded with them. Now the traded with the talents signify our using the gift which the Lord has given us. And similarly, it says that he traded and he gained another five. This signifies that the gift that we receive from the Lord has been used to the fullest extent without any loss or waste. Similarly, he who received the two gained another two. But he who received the one went off and dug in the earth and hid the master's money. So both the person with the five talents and the person with the two talents, they used it to the fullest extent and they gained something equivalent to whatever they had for the kingdom of God. But the one who received the one talent. Now, the main emphasis of this parable is the person who received the one talent. He received the smallest gift, and it signifies here that it is very easy for the least gifted to mistreat the or ignore the gift that God has given in their life. It says this man, he went off and he dug in the earth. Now the earth signifies the world. So dug in the earth signifies being involved in the world. Any association or involvement with the world will bury the gift that we have received from the Lord. Jesus says, love not the world, not the things of the world. For if you love the world, the love of the God, of the Lord is not with him. In the Gospel of 1 John. So, this man digging his talent in the world signifies being involved and associated with the things of the world. It says that he hid his master's money. That signifies that he rendered the gift that God has given him into useless. It is lying in waste under a cloak of earthly excuses. To make any excuse for not using the gift that God has given in your life is similar to hiding the gift. And this is always a danger for the one talented person, because you consider your gift to be small and that which you cannot use it for the kingdom of God. Verse number 19. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled their accounts with them. It says a long time signifies the entire church age. The master of the slaves, he came. The coming of the Lord signifies the Lord descending in the air. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where verse 16, it speaks about the secret or the coming of the Lord when he will descend in the air. And those who are living for Christ, they will be taken up along with the dead in Christ to meet him in the air. And that is the coming of the Lord. So after a long time, the master of the slaves, he came, and it says he settled their account. So after we see that he came and settled the account with each of the people that he gave the talents. Now the person with the one talent, he after burying the talent, he lived, I believe, a worldly life. He thought that everything will go okay, but he didn't realize that the master is going to come and he's going to settle the accounts with him, because it says that the master came and he settled accounts with them. Now, settled accounts signifies the Lord's judging at his judgment seat. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 and Romans chapter 14 verse 10 about that we will all come before Christ to settle accounts. We will all have to give an account, each one of us, for what we have done on this earth before God one day. The master, it says that he is coming and he is going to settle accounts. Now, what is the account that the master is settling? It is with the believers' living, conduct and work will be judged for reward or punishment. More references are in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5, Matthew chapter 16 verse 27, Revelation chapter 22 verse 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13 to 15, where the Lord is settling accounts with the people. This is at the judgment throne of Christ. Verse number 20. And he who received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained another 5 talents. So, this is that when the one with the 5 talents, he come to the judgment seat of Christ. And the gaining of another 5 talents is as a result of the full using of the talents, the 5 talents which God had given him as a gift. Verse number 21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. It says that you have been faithful over a few things. The few things signifies the Lord's work that we have to do in this age. It says, I will set you over many things. Over signifies the ruling authority in the coming kingdom. Many things signify the responsibilities that the Lord is going to give in the coming kingdom. Enter into the joy of the master signify the enjoyment of the Lord in the coming kingdom. It refers to an inner satisfaction and not an outward position. To participate in the Lord's joy is actually the greatest reward that we can ever receive. It is better than the glory and even the position in the kingdom. Verse number 22. But he who received the 2 talents also came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained another 2 talents. The master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. We see that the way the Lord is responding to the person with the 2 talents is exactly the same how he responded to the slave to whom he gave 5 talents. And the reward that the Lord gives to the person with the 2 talents is also the same reward that the Lord is giving to the person with the 5 talents. So although the gifts given to the 2 talent one is smaller than that to the 5 talent, but the Lord's appraisal and reward is same in both the cases. And this indicates that the Lord's appraisal and reward is not relating to the size and quantity of our work, but to our faithfulness in using His gift to the fullest extent. The same appraisal and the same reward would have been given to the one talented person if he also had been faithful. But let's look at verse number 24. But he who received the one talent also came and said, Master, I knew about you that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. Verse number 21, the one talented one, he does not gain any profit for the Lord. But he comes to the judgment seat and in the air. So this proves that he was not only saved, but he was also raptured by the Lord, because no unsaved person can be raptured and come to the judgment seat of Christ at this time. And it says that he who received came and said, Master, I knew about it. Now the Greek word refers to the outward objective knowledge and not to the inward subjective realization. So this man with the one talent knew about the Lord. It was just a superficial outward knowledge. And that you are a hard man. Apparently, the Lord is hard in His strictness. He demands that we use His gift to the fullest extent for His work. And that requires our absolute sincerity in doing the work of God. It says that you reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. Apparently, the Lord's work always begins from zero. Reaping where He did not sow and gathering where He did not scatter, it seems that He demands that we work for Him with nothing. But that should not be the excuse for the one talented one to neglect the use of his gift. Rather, it should force him to exercise his faith that he can use his gift to the uttermost. Verse number 25, and I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the earth, and behold, you have what is yours. Now, he says that he was afraid. Now, to be afraid is to be negative. We should rather be positive and aggressive in using the Lord's gift. He said he went off. This is also a passive kind of work. We should be always active in the Lord's work. And it says that he hid his talent, and what you have is yours. So just to keep the Lord's gift and not lose it is not sufficient. We must gain a profit by using the gift what the Lord has done for us. Verse number 26, and his master answered and said to him, evil and slothful slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter. The Lord admits here that he is strict in what he demands of his slave for his work. Verse number 27, therefore, you should have deposited my money with the money changers, and when I come, I would have recovered what is mine with interest. So this signifies the use of the Lord's gift to save people and to minister his riches to them. Interest signifies the profitable result we gain for the Lord's work by using his gift. So in verse number 28, the master says, take away therefore the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. So this signifies that the faithful believer's gift will be increased at the judgment throne of God. Verse number 29, for everyone who has, more shall be given and he shall abound. But to him who does not have, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. So to everyone who gains a profit For the in the church age, more gifts will be given in the coming kingdom age. But concerning the one who has not gained a profit in the church age, even the gift that he has will be taken away from him in the coming kingdom age. And in verse number 30 it says, and cast out the useless slave into the outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see here that this useless slave will be cast into the outer darkness. When we look into Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 12, there again it is mentioned about the outer darkness. Now the outer darkness is the darkness outside the bright glory in the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens. So being cast in the outer darkness in the coming kingdom age refers, it is different from being cast into the lake of fire after the millennium and for eternity. It says where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping indicates regret. Gnashing of teeth indicates self-blame. So it will be a place where there will be lot of regret and self-blame. So to be cast into the outer darkness is not to perish. It is to be dealt with dispensationally, to be disqualified from participating in the enjoyment of the kingdom during the millennium for not having lived by Christ an overcoming life. And in the millennium, the overcoming believers will be with Christ in the bright glory of the kingdom, whereas the defeated believers will suffer discipline in the outer darkness. So this is the fate of the man with the one talent who did not use his gift, but rather was involved and buried in worldliness, and he was not able to use his gift. Let us be careful that the gift, the talents that God has given us, we may be faithful to use them for the kingdom and for the glory of God. The next section we see is a prophecy of Jesus concerning the nations. And in verse number 31 in particular, Christ is speaking about himself being enthroned in glory. Verse number 31. But the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him. At that time he will sit on the throne of his glory. Here the word we see in the previous section, we saw that this parable was spoken concerning faithfulness in the work of God, and the slave who was unfaithful, he was dealt with, and but here in verse number 31, it starts with but. When the Son of Man comes, here it indicates that was what was spoken in verses 31 to 46 is another section, and this is a section concerning the Gentiles. It says when the Son of Man comes. The Son of Man is the title of Christ in relation to his kingdom, the Messianic kingdom. His judgment here is a preparation for that kingdom. And we see the same reference in Matthew chapter 13 verses 41. It says that he will come in his glory. Now, this is the public appearance or the open aspect of the Lord's coming. And it will be the continuation of his coming mentioned in chapter 20, verse number 30, the previous verse that we read. It says that he will come in his glory. The Lord's glory consists of three kinds of glory. One, it consists of the glory of his divinity. Reference is John chapter 17 verses 22 and 24. It also consists the glory of his humanity. Psalms verse 45 verse 3 is a good reference. And third is the glory of his resurrection. References of that is John chapter 7 verse 39 and Acts chapter 3 verses 13 to 15. And fourth is the glory of his ascension, which is Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. So actually there is four kind of glories: the glory of his divinity, the glory of his humanity, the glory of his resurrection, and the glory of his ascension. And so when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, at the time he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now the throne of David, which will be in Jerusalem, is what is indicated here. That is the throne of his glory. It's also mentioned in Luke chapter 1 verses 32 to 33, and also it is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 17 and Matthew chapter 19 verses 28. Verse number 32, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, just as the sheep shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Jesus is starting to speak about the gathering of all nations for exercising the judgment. And it says here that all the nations will be gathered before him. Now, all the nations refers to all the Gentiles who remain at Christ coming back to the earth after he has destroyed those Gentiles who follow the Antichrist at Armageddon. Revelation 16 verse 14 and 16, Revelation 19 verses 11 to 15, and verses 19 to 21. So the remaining Gentiles will be gathered and judged at Christ's throne of glory. This will be Christ's judgment of the living before the millennium. References of that is in Acts chapter 10 verse 42 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. It differs from his judgment of the dead at the great white throne after the millennium that we see in Revelation chapter 20 verses 11 to 15, and this will be executed on the earth after his judgment of believers at his judgment seat in the air, which we see in verses 19 to 30 of Matthew chapter 25. So it says that that the Lord will separate the people who gather to him, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The Lord is a shepherd not only of the believers, as we see in John chapter 10 verse 11 and Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20, but he is a shepherd of the Jews as well. As we see in Psalms 80 verse 1 and Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 10, and is also the shepherd of the Gentiles that we see in Psalms 100 verses 1 to 3. So he is the shepherd of the believers, he is the shepherd of the Jews, and is also the shepherd of the Gentiles. But when all the nations will be gathered, he will separate the sheep from the goats. Verse number 33, he will set the sheep at his right hand and the goats on his left. Now the right hand is a place of honor. And as we see in 1 Kings 2 verse 19 and Psalms 45 verses 9. And it says that the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So after the judgment of Christ's throne of glory, the sheep will be transferred into the millennium to be the people living under the kingly ruling of Christ and the overcoming believers. References is in Revelation chapter 2 verses 26 and 27, Revelation chapter 12 verse 5, and Revelation chapter 20 verses 4 to 6. And these are the people who will be under the priestly ministry of the saved Jews that we see in Zechariah chapter 8 verses 20 to 23. So in this way, the sheep will inherit the coming kingdom. In the millennium, there will be three sections. Number one, the earth, where the blessings of God's creation will be, as mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 to 30. Number 2, the nation of Israel in Canaan from the Nile to the Euphrates, from which the same Jews will rule the whole earth. Evidences of that is in Isaiah chapter 60 verses 10 to 12 and Zechariah chapter 14 verses 16 to 18. And third, the heavenly and the spiritual section that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 50 to 52, where the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens and where the overcoming believers will enjoy the kingdom reward. We see in Matthew chapter 5 verse 20 and Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 about that. So the kingdom of that the sheep will inherit will constitute the first section, that is the earth and the blessings of God's creation. It says that the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So the blessings of the first section in the millennium, the blessings of God's creation, was prepared for the sheep from the foundation of the world, whereas the blessings of the third section, that is the blessing of the heavenly and the spiritual kingdom, was ordained for the believers before the foundation of the world. We see that in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. Verse number 35, "For I was hungry and you gave me to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, I was a stranger and you took me in." So all the sufferings that are mentioned from verses 35 to 39 onward will fall on the believers who are left to be tried on this earth during the great tribulation. Evidence of that is in Revelation chapter 3 verse 10, and evidence of the great tribulation is in we also saw that in Matthew chapter 24 verse number 21. What are these sufferings that we are seeing? It says that when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and have fed you? Or thirsty and have given you a drink? And when have you seen you a stranger and have taken you in, or naked and have clothed you? And when have we seen you sick or in prison and have come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done to one of these, the least of my brothers, you have done it to me." Now this will happen during the great tribulation, when the believers will suffer the persecution of the Antichrist, that we see in Revelation chapter 13 verses 6 and 7, and also we see at Revelation chapter 20 verse number 4. So we see that it is the great tribulation that will come up to the believers. It will come up to those believers who will overcome the persecution of Antichrist, that we read in Revelation 15 verse 2. And they will be with Christ at the judgment. And that's why the king is saying that as you have done to these, so they are there at the judgment of Christ, to the least of my brothers. And we see that Christ's brothers are the believers, are his believers. We see that in Matthew chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, where Jesus is as a brother to the believer to the other believers. So the Christ brothers are his own believers, and Christ is one of the believers who are his members, as is indicated in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 4. Here we see about Jesus confronting Saul, who later became Paul, on the road to Damascus. It says that as he journeyed near Damascus in Acts chapter 9 verse 3, 4 and 5, suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." But Jesus says that Saul is persecuting Jesus when he was persecuting the disciples of Jesus. It is similar to Jesus saying that the believers or the disciples are his brothers. So when you are helping the believers or the brothers during the time of tribulation, that is when Jesus says that you, the king says that it was for me that you did, because Christ is totally he is totally aligning himself with the believers when he says that when you did to the least of my people, my brothers, my the believers, you have done it to me. And that is the relationship that Christ is showing with the believers here. Now we read, to those who are on the left, which is the goats, it says, "Go away from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and the angels." The eternal fire is actually the fire in the lake of fire. When we read Revelation chapter 20 verses 14 and 15, we read that then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this is the eternal fire, or it's also called the lake of fire. And here the goats will perish in that lake of fire. After Antichrist and the false prophet that is given in Revelation 19 verse 20, and before the devil and the resurrected sinners are put there. We see that in Revelation chapter 20 verses 10 and 15. And this is part of the fulfillment that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 14 verse 10. And we see that this is prepared for devil and his angels. The lake of fire was prepared for devil and his angels, not for man. However, if a man follows the devil in opposing the Lord, he will share the lake of fire and the devil and the fallen angels. It says that for the same thing he says, that for when I was hungry, you did not give me anything to eat. I was thirsty and you did not give me to drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer saying, "Lord, when have we seen you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them saying, "Truly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do this to one of the least of these, neither have you done it to me." We see here that this will also occur during the Antichrist persecution. And it's because they did not care for the suffering believers who were persecuted by Antichrist during the tribulation time. You did not do that because you rebelled against God and you opposed the Lord and followed the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And that is the reason it says, verse number 46, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life." The punishment is the perishing in the lake of fire. But it says about the righteous. The righteous are the believers left on the earth will be cared during the Antichrist persecution, and an eternal gospel will be preached to the nations. Revelation chapter 14 verses 6 and 7. And this is illustrated also in the parable of the net, which we have read in Matthew chapter 13 verses 47 to 50. The Lord will then judge the nations not according to the law of Moses or the gospel of Christ, but according to the eternal gospel. This is a matter of God's dispensation. Those who obey the gospel and treat the suffering believers well will be blessed and reckoned as righteous and will inherit the kingdom. But those who do not will be cursed and will perish for eternity. It says that the righteous will go into eternal life. The gospel of grace that is mentioned in Acts chapter 20 verse 24 brings eternal life into the believers. That we see in John chapter 3 verse 15 and 16 to give eternal life, the reason that Jesus came to this world. And so they may live by God's life, whereas the eternal gospel brings the sheep into eternal life that they may live in the sphere of God's life forever. And this was the conclusion of the parable, which we know as the parable of the talents. And also we see how the Lord Jesus is going to exercise judgment upon the nation. So we saw the prophecy of what is going to happen to the Israelites, to the Jews, what is going to happen to the church, and finally what is going to happening to the Gentiles. And with this, the Lord concludes his saying, and we are also going to conclude our lesson with this verse. So the things that we can take away to our lesson is that what the Lord expects us. Number one, the Lord has given us a talent. In the parable of the talents, we see that among the three slaves or the servants that the master gives, there is no one without a talent. Everyone has been given a talent according in proportion to his ability. And what the Lord requires is that you use the talent faithfully in the kingdom of God, so that he will reward you with greater things when he comes back to in his judgment. But if we are going into the world and hiding under the cloak of the world and burying our talents and not using it, there is a punishment that is waiting for us. And let us be watching and very careful and faithful to what the Lord has come up and the Lord has given us, so that when we are faithful unto death, the Lord will grant us eternal life. This concludes lesson number 32. And this also concludes the prophecies that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. When we come to the next lesson number 34, we are going to read about the rejection which is completed and the last days of the Lord Jesus. And that we will be reading in the next lessons, in the days to come. May the Lord richly bless you with this lesson.